Some of our landings were desperate adventures. We are now prepared to meet the inevitable counterattacks with power and with confidence.
It seems I am no match for you, but I've learned a thing or two myself. You see, I've sliced the finger off. Please. Please. Eleonora. Yield to the cis blood no longer. Do not stain the immaculacy of your sword. Your flesh.
This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Bonfireside Chat. It is a worm-eaten favorite.
And this week we are continuing our excursion into Altus, kind of heading down into that central valley there, underneath the big bridge, what was scuttled for the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did we do last time, Cole?
Last time we checked out stuff down, around the kind of the southern roads there, kind of, rushing up against the walls of the outskirts, the capital there. We fought a completely unnecessary, straight up clone of Godric, Godefroy. We reunited with brother Corrin, and we're just a little bit baffled by the finger reader having a game over. It's game over, bro moment.
Kind of yes. Cool. Yeah. The finger reader is freaking out. You called her the finger eater, which I hope the DLCs introduced the finger eater crones. Like that's pretty good.
Even more devoted. The finger reading fundamentalists.
Yes.
Why are you wearing a big bib that has fingers on it?
Why are you holding a fork and knife? Why are you dual wielding a fork and knife at me? Why are you power stancing a fork and knife at this meal? Whenever you use a fork and knife to cut a steak, you're power stancing. That's
oh god, I love the phrase power stancing. We tragic loss when that went away.
Got to bring it back. There's a little church we can get to from near here. This isn't exactly at the end of the bridge there below that valley, but it's nearby.
Yeah,
on the small outcropping, we have to do some jumps on torrent to get there, and this one's a little bit out of the way. You know, and it also happens to be not necessarily because it's very corrupted.
Yes. This is the second Church of America. The third one, you remember, that was down north of the Mistwood. That is where we got the Flask of Wondrous Physic. Here is the second one. And yeah, it's bloody. It's got the Moguin corruption going on, similar to the Rose Church in Liurnia, and this might be your first blush with these fucking Altus dogs.
Yes, not to be confused with the Bleed Dogs.
Nope,
that one shot you. Those got patched out.
Mm-hmm.
But there were Bleed Dogs that one shot you. Real heads know, like people played Elden Ring when it first came out. If you're listening to this after the fact, you missed out the fact that there were dogs that could one shot you.
Yep.
These ones just get, you know, these are just nastier versions of the dogs. Like these things definitely suck.
Yeah.
But they don't one shot you. The dog that one shot me, I kind of respected. You know, a little bit. I was like,
I can't even be mad. Okay.
Yeah, well, you gotta hand it. He just wanted it more.
You know, he beat me.
he beat me. These guys are more fair. They're not literally glitched.
Yeah.
Inside the church, it's flooded with blood. And a sanguine noble pops out again. One of Moog's cronies.
Love these sanguine nobles. It's fucked up guys. My favorite armor. That's the armor that our artist put me in, that I requested the artist put me in on the cover there.
Yeah. We skipped a step on a pretty obscure quest line in this that gets wrapped up here.
Yeah.
Yura. So forgive you for not remembering who Yura is. Yura is the Land of Reeds warrior who wore a canonical hat. He saved us from a bloody finger north of Lake Agil. He warns us not to fight that flying dragon. And if we do and then die, you can summon him for it. It's really obscure.
And then you can talk to him and he says, I've seen so many fucking assholes like you.
Yeah. Piece of shit. Yeah. The encounter we missed, is that you can find him outside of Rhea Lucaria. He leaves a summon sign that you can use where he summons you in to help him.
Yeah. Returning the favor.
Yes. Fighting a Raven Mount assassin. I've missed this. I find it easy to miss personally.
There's just no reason to go out to that far end of the bridge there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also just, I just might not notice the summon sign on the ground.
Yeah. But yeah, this is easy enough. It's also generous. Like, we are past the, Dark Souls 1, Sigmire dying real easy kind of phase of these questline kind of deals. If you die or, if Yura dies, you get another chance at it. You can just summon back in.
Yeah. Just keep doing it.
Yeah. But afterwards he kind of tells you, a little bit about what's going on after you get your spoils. You get the Raptor of the Mists, Ash of War. It's real neat. You know, do like a little stealth crouch and then can pop out and attack folks.
Nice.
Yeah. But Yura's sounding pretty bad. He's been running himself rough, hunting these bloody fingers, cause there's really no stop to them. he says, I really don't have that much time left, but I hope that before I go, I'm able to take out this incredibly dangerous bloody finger, the violet bloody finger Eleonora, who he has a past with.
Yes. Yeah. And this is, we talked about this way back when we first talked about Yura, this character a little bit, who is mixing her meds.
Yes.
Basically, like, this is what happens when you are a dragon cultist and you get into Moog shit.
Yeah.
Into Bloody Finger shit.
You're up in that cess blood. Yeah.
Yeah. Too much. Yura can be found here at the Second Church. He's dying. Eleonora killed him. He's very happy he managed to do it. He cut off her cursed finger.
Yeah.
He begs her, do not stain the immaculacy of your sword, your flesh, and your fire.
Which definitely feels they are former lovers. You don't talk about somebody's flesh and fire like that.
Yeah, they can't be like former coworkers at this point. he said he was just hunting bloody fingers in general. This is the personal question.
Yeah, and prior as well, like some of his dialogue, again, it's so easy to miss this stuff. He will warn you if you talk to him after defeating a Gil, and you have the heart, he will talk about the dangers of partaking in dragon communion. He'll say, eventually you're gonna, start wanting to eat that heart, and then you're gonna want to find more, but you have to understand.
I love that. He's like, maybe not. Like, I don't know. Like, what's gonna change to make you want to eat this gross fucking thing? I'm good.
It's not like getting more delicious as it's in my satchel.
Can you imagine somebody saying that about like my bag as I'm walking down the street, or like something else I'm carrying, my phone?
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. Yeah.
I suppose on a long enough timeline. Kind of curious.
But I'll say, like, it's like the gates of hell opening. Eventually that surge of power will consume you. And he knows this firsthand, because he lost somebody to it. It was a Pyrrhic victory for him, but he loosened the jar for us, as it were.
Yeah. Because we're going to fight Eleonora.
Yeah.
She invades us. She has this pole blade, kind of twin blade thing that does bleed damage, and she uses dragon incantations. She's both, baby. She's tough.
Very.
And when we beat her, we get her story a little bit. It's a Drake Knight set. Adorned with trophies from fell dragons. Mm-hmm. The Drake Knights are dragon hunters. And then she started doing that communion, then fell in with the bloody fingers. Just bad neighborhood after bad neighborhood.
Yeah. Lots of bad choices. She drops her weapon, this twin blade, which lets you do just an unnecessarily ornate kind of jumping slash attack. You get her a special attack. Part of what makes her so hard is that she starts that and then it's just hit. Yeah. This pole blade that she has, says her mastery of the sword was such that that her onslaught was likened to a whirlwind, but now her legacy is stained by accursed blood. She could have been great if she didn't get corrupted.
Yeah. And we wrap up a NPC storyline. I consider this storyline to be pretty minor.
Yep.
Does it feel to you like there were originally bigger plans for this, or do you feel like this was just to have a tiny little bit of action around the intersection of two established corrupting forces.
It doesn't feel like it's connected to much of anything. I mean, the other thing that you get from him, that you get by killing her, you know, gives this a little bit of a mechanical purpose, which makes me feel like, you know, it's done what it needed to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you do get an important item like from this. It doesn't, I wish that he was about that. So like getting her stuff and their story just feels like, what if somebody we don't know very well was in love with somebody? And we're kind of asked to have feelings around that without enough additional context.
Yeah.
You know, to me, the thing that we get here from the church, the purifying crystal tier, which helps us fight Moog, we'll talk about how in a second. If this guy was like, actually, instead of being on a personal quest against his former lover, like maybe his former lover was lost and he's trying to take the fight to Moog.
Yeah.
You know, and he comes here on that journey. Like that would foreshadow Moog. You'd have a real reason for it and everything. As is, I find his story pretty unsatisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, in terms, it's one of my least favorite NPCs in the game.
I'd say. Yeah. I'm torn between wanting more and then just kind of accepting that in a game, the scale with this many NPCs, you know, they're going to be some that are minor. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I wish that he was a little bit, I don't know, not more focused, let's say, because he talks about like, oh yeah, it's these bloody fingers. It's the cess blood, his grudge being against Moog, you know, kind of being, because like, it's not just that people found this power. It's that, you know, they're compelled to indulge in this, by this force, you know, like it is a, yeah, I mean, in some ways, it's a political project that Moog is undertaking. They are vassals of this foul lord, you know, which feels like it lines up with his, characterization, too. You know? Yeah.
It's also a thing, too, where there's a little bit of this, like they kind of need to have a minor character that we generally felt warm towards. So another character can take his form later.
True.
Which we're not going to get to for a while. Yeah. But let's get a third faction kind of thing connected to this.
Yeah. Maybe Yura is like the Lands Between itself, you know?
maybe Yura is perhaps a character.
barely.
So the physics here, there's a note here. I have never used it, but I think that it's slightly different than in the notes. The purifying crystal that you can use that counteracts Moog's curse doesn't counteract the passive blood beat up. It counteracts his countdown attack.
Gotcha.
Makes you immune to the 3-2-1 boom, where he just raises the staff and makes you bleed.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's neat that they put in a counter to that. Like it's a little bit ham-handed as it is, because the other option is just to force your way through. Like just,
which is what endure. I did. I didn't connect these two. Yeah.
Same. Like I knew that I had this, but it, again, the tyranny of hours that happens with Elden Ring, where it's like, oh, that was 40 hours ago.
Yeah.
It was 50 hours ago. Like I don't remember that item description, you know? And by the time I fought Moog, I was pretty tough.
It's cool though, that, this is symmetrical with getting Market's shackle.
Yes.
You know, these two brothers end up having, each having a little item that can, easier way to helping defeat them. Yeah.
Yeah. little Achilles heels.
Yeah.
Kind of neat. Let's head into the valley.
Let's do. The easiest way into this is just by going down the remains of that forest spanning bridge, makes a nice little ramp that puts us, at ground level. In amongst these trees and next to probably one of the more unpleasant enemies that From has ever committed to a disc, to ones and zeros.
They're grody. They feel very Bloodborne Collection to me.
Yeah.
We're talking worm faces, talking about our wormies. These things are really interesting.
Yeah.
These huge, they're humanoid and they look, Zuli the Witch did a good video on them. You can also find things with their model with their clothing removed. If you're that on Mr. Skin.
All right. So at hour 45, 37,
you get to see a tantalizing glimpse of worm face titty. but you can see they have human ears. Like they used to be people.
Yeah.
These things. And they do not have, their faces are not made of worms. They have faces that worms are continuously burrowing into.
Yeah.
Hunched over, they have these worms pulling, going into their head. So it looks like tentacles, but they're not.
No, they're being ed up. And there's a substantial transformation going on. Like it's not just a human head oriented like a human head is. There's like a big like kind of hump to it. Yes. They're kind of like walking tubas a little bit.
They do have big hollows in their faces.
Yes. There,
like a tuba does. There are male and female versions of them. The ones that we're going to find wandering are the males.
Mm-hmm.
They are smaller. We know that because of the model names for them.
Yes.
The boss version is the ladies. So it's a matriarchal society. They use girl power to subjugate the lands between.
Well, they use girl power and also the fact that they are four or five times as big.
And worm power. Yeah. And power power.
Yeah. So there's the visual component of these things just sucking, being, you know, pretty, you know, again, Bloodborne Collection is a good way to put it, but also just the sounds that they make.
Yeah, the real wet, real wet, slimy, pukey kind of sounds, like constantly gurgling,
hacking. And stuff. When they're talking to each other, the ones that are just kind of hanging out, the morning ones. Yeah, somebody on the sound design team really they leaned on the wet folder.
Yeah, it's real good. They sound great. A lot of times they are just vibing. They're at the graves, like kind of mourning. They'll sit and talk to each other. They'll be kneeling down. Like they're not immediately aggressive, which I really like.
Yeah.
Then the files are called Deracine, which is a French term for uprooted or uprooting. Yeah. Part of this, this is like Julie, I guess this is partly because they look a little bit like an uprooted tree, with their things.
Yeah.
I read a thing when I was kind of looking into these guys, somebody else's theory. And I don't have the person handy right now, and I apologize for that. That was saying that maybe, you know, so these guys shit, they drop the gold tinged excrement there when you kill them, and they vomit up death blight, which is connected to the Prince of Death with the roots. And they had these guys eating the roots, like actually eating the roots of the Erd Tree where heroes are, you know, like this great blasphemy. So that is, since they're eating Erd Tree, that's why they're shitting it, and they're vomiting out death blight because they're eating
the death root. Just Godwin stuff is getting through. That stands to reason. That is as sound as anything, because there really is very little about them. There's no, you know, if you do the search in the text dump, it's not there. It's
people aren't talking about them in the world.
Yeah. And also like they're not widespread. Like they are
they're not widespread. They're here. And then there's the Royale edition. They're up in Farrah Missoula who are wearing riches and jewels and stuff. Which is great. Like the there's, you know, the fancy, the Pygmalions. Like I bet you I can make a gentleman out of this worm face.
They're moving on up.
I bet you can't, you know. And then, like, so some people have made some real Miss Havisham decisions, some great expectations for these worm faces.
Yeah. So I can't explain why they're up in Farrah Missoula. They're a big pain up there. Kind of a pain down here. It's, you know, you have plenty of room. We're going to talk about when we get over the Woodfolk ruins, where it gets kind of rough, but
this is the first time I think I got in my first playthrough, got death blighted through the puke of these things.
Yeah.
Them vomiting. It's a great animation. They just like spray this cloud filled with little tiny worms. So when you, after you fight these guys, they puke and they do melee attacks. They have a lot of hit points. If you head from this broken bridge, you can hear the sound of retching near Minor Erd Tree. And this is where you fight a boss version, a lady worm face. Cool little trivia thing about this. They have more worms coming out of their little cavity. The male ones, their little cavity is hollow. These ones have little tinier, smaller worms, almost like they're breeding.
Yeah.
In there, like almost like a maggoty kind of layer.
Yeah.
In there.
Definitely a denser thicket.
It's a really interesting inversion of like a gender kind of thing. Like the lady ones are fecund, but not because they can reproduce with their own kind, because they're more fertile grounds for reproduction.
Yeah.
You know, that's I don't know if there's, I don't know if that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It just creeps me out. So I'm going to choose to believe it because it spooks me up.
Yeah, I will tend to, in a non-nightmare fuel way, I will defer toward the more fucked up theory about something. Yeah. Right. Because it feels better. Yeah. And just gigantic too. The moveset is very similar. Here we'll do the big sweeps and then obviously the big just spraying worms at you like COVID particles in that one gif, but there's also the grab attack, which makes this really difficult. I counted it was like 3 times trying to take this one down, just because that grab has a longer reach than most grab attacks do because of how lanky she is. It does a ton of damage, even with as much HP as I had. It drained me completely if I was not fully healed. It's cool because like she'll pick you up and then kind of lift the worms up a little bit, revealing like this lamprey mouth that she has, that hollow there. Then she just kind of just
it's more the dark form of mommy yuppies. I don't remember having too tough of a problem, but that was because it's in a big open area.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I just cowered it out when I got hurt.
Yeah.
Here. And again, ranged combat is the ultimate coward's path, and I love it. I embrace. if we head to the west from here, we reach a part of the forest called the Bower of Bounty here, where we can find the Mirage Rise. There's a tower that we should see here. According to the map, instead, we just find an imp statue holding a book that gives us our little, puzzle, our little puzzlet for this rise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gives us a little document called the Mirage Riddle. It is a map fragment that has 3 X's marked around. But this does not seem to correspond to the geography around where you're at, where you find it. What you have to do is rotate it 90 degrees. There's no way to do that in game. You just kind of got to tilt your head a little bit. Yeah. And then that will show you where the, where these line up. You got to go and interact with these glyphs, including one that is kind of right nearby. In order to, once you have, interacted with all 3 of them, then the Mirage Rise will appear.
Yes. When you get up there, there is a dead sorcerer up here. I don't think this is the only one that's occupied. I know there's a graven mass.
I forgot that counts. That's still kind of a person.
Yeah, there's a couple. Usually they're empty.
Yeah.
This one has a dead guy in it who's holding a slumbering egg, which is an owl egg that will never hatch.
Yeah.
That's basically a 5-hour energy. like it's used to make the stimulating boluses to stop you from going to sleep.
Yeah.
The sleepy egg stop you from sleep. The main thing you want here are the Celian sorceries.
Yes. The Unseen Blade and the Unseen Form, both just a invisible carrion blade, and then also one that makes you semi-invisible even on Torrent. And then a little bit of text about the Celian assassins saying they considered every option that aided their dirty work. So,
yeah, I don't know who was here. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if Mirage is a dude. Or it just means it means the non-proper noun Mirage.
Yeah.
I've kind of given up trying to figure out who is in the rises.
Yeah.
Because there are answers for some of them, but some of them just feel like long dead mages. All we know about this guy is he's from Celia.
Yep.
So, which is fine. You know, a Celian mage went out and became a hedge maze. Hedge mage. Didn't go
out and become a hedge maze. Oh, I do like the idea of a person becoming a hedge maze. Ah,
Junji Ito, call me. I guess that's what happens to your gut biome. If you are a gut biome,
okay,
like intestines are probably a lot like a hedge maze.
I mean, it's just the place where you live.
Well, no, but if you're trying to get through it to get out.
You got your gut biome trying to escape, bud.
Yeah, they're little pockets. Like you're trying to escape Hades. Like you're trying to get out. Well, there's like little diverticula and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. It's a labyrinth designed to keep them in. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It is designed to keep them in. Made sense to me.
Designed, okay.
Yeah. Huh. Oh. Yeah, designed by our creator. 2023, baby. Hard pivot. The eastern portion of this valley has something called the Woodfolk Ruins. A string of ruined structures kind of running from north to south that look like they have been trashed.
Yeah. Here. Boy, this is Death Blight Town.
Yes.
Again, embarrassing number of times I got death blighted just because I didn't realize how much here was going to start spewing at me. You got lesser worm faces posted up, and then also slugs that will just spray out death blight at you.
Yes. Yeah. One reason to go here, there's a couple different treasures you get. One of the ruins has the shield icon, or the icon shield rather, which is a great shield that has a scene painted on it of worshippers receiving a tear from the Erd Tree. And this is the equivalent of the Adjudicator's shield for demon souls.
Yeah.
Like less than perfect block, but slowly heals you.
Yeah. Even looks similar. The Adjudicator's shield having that. God, I love how tacky both of these are.
It's so
just
good.
Imagine this guy showing up like, oh, you know,
this guy walked up to you.
Just like, God, I'm standing in formation next to this asshole, standing next to Bob Ross over here.
It's incredible.
Just figured I'd zhuzh it up a little bit.
There's kind of a joke too. There's a basement treasure room here that has the Wrath of Gold, which is just feels like a cheeky little Wrath of God sorcery reference to me.
Yep.
It does the same thing as Wrath of God. Like it does holy damage and a big shockwave around you.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
That's it. It feels like a goofy joke to me.
Yeah, I like that quite a bit. The Wrath of Gold, you know, the incantation discovered when the Elden Ring was shattered, and thus feared as a sign of the Erd Tree's wrath.
Yeah. There's a spirit here that will generate a ghost that will slow walk you to the Altus Tunnel. You can also just walk there yourself. if you somehow miss the entrance, it will do it for you.
It's hilarious because two things about the spirit candelabra. The spirit that comes out of it takes a very inefficient path and moves very slowly. Mm-hmm. I guess three things. It'll walk you through several groups of enemies.
It's like when you had to walk Gollum in Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah.
Do you remember like you'd have those missions where you had to like follow him and he'd always just take you right through like encampments and shit.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like this Gollum guy's bad news.
He goes, dick.
The third thing is it's very funny because there are just a bunch of messages that people have left around just bemoaning how slow this thing moves. I love it. It's like it's the turtle from El Viaje.
Yeah, yeah.
Mysterioso, yeah.
Dog.
Find your soulmate, Homer. So this is fun. But it'll take us to the Altus Tunnel. This is the other side of the Perfumer's Grotto, what we've seen. And it's a mine.
Yeah. It's not very special on its own other than that connection.
Yeah.
You know? If we've been to the Perfumer's Grotto and kill that star, what are they called?
The flower star.
Form. Yeah, Malform Star, then it's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with pretty minor enemies here. We have some sorcerer miners. We have the winged Avignettes and crystal slugs here.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of notable treasure, we get the Arsenal Charm here, plus one, which is good. Reduces or increases your equip load 15%. Mm-hmm. Those are always handy. And the boss is two Crystallians.
Yeah.
Ring blade and a spear one. We have fought all the mix-ups of Crystallians.
Yeah. This is possibly easier than many of the Crystallian encounters that you have done so far.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reward is the Somber Stone Miner's Bell Bearing. Useful, but yeah.
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 Very useful, but just not very storyful, not very flavorful.
Yeah. So that's the valley, you would be tempted to head toward a bunch of windmills, on your way out here. We're going to save that for an episode about the northern portion here. Instead, we're going to kind of go out of the east side, of the valley and pick up on this road that is heading south toward the northern gate of the capital outskirts. This is the road that last episode we concluded Landau was trying to railroad the Volcano Manor. Railroad the Volcano Manor forces into, because as we go, we're gonna start having trebuchets fire at us.
It's more defended. As we head up. The path eventually doubles back towards this highway lookout tower, which is very heavily fortified. We can get up there to get a great bow in the chest, which is not a high value treasure. It's just they're guarding this area. Get more information. The right branch of the main road leads you around to the southeastern rim of the Forest Canyon, where there's a ruin that is otherwise unremarkable, except that there's one of the little cowering nobles that is using a mimic's tear. You know, when you kill him, he turns out to be a guardian lion.
That was fun. I laughed out loud when that guy was like, oh, you're just like gonna pick on the lonely defenseless guy, huh?
There's we've also seen that before, that trick. It's a fun trick.
There's a neat little scene. So that minor Erdtree doesn't have an Erdtree avatar, you know, the one down in the valley there, and there are no Erdtree tenders, you know, those guys with the tree growing out of their back, another little hump there. There's one up here though, just kind of chilling. He's just sitting there looking toward the minor Erdtree. One imagines wistfully.
Back in the day.
We
keep following this road because we're going to, or if we keep following this road, it'll take us to the top of the plateau to the Altus Tunnel and Perfumer's Grotto that are cut into that we've been to. When we do this, we get up to the top. It starts raining and thundering, possibly because of the boss here, but also possibly because this is where the lightning rams are.
Yeah.
I can't believe you didn't make notes of the lightning rams.
I didn't make a note of the lightning rams.
There's thunder rams. There's little ram, Sonic the Hedgehog rams we've been finding, except they're aggressive and they shoot like they electrocute you.
I was distracted by the big ass dragon.
I love the little lightning rams. I love like his crew, Ancient Dragon, Lanciax showing up with his like little ram crew.
Fuck him up, Lanciax.
He's packing 64 gigs of lightning ram.
I seriously did not notice them.
I love them. They're a baby. It's raining and thundering because Ancient Dragon Lanciax is here.
This is where she ran off to. She comes down and she opens the battle with a unique attack for now. We're going to run into kind of other versions of her, other ancient dragons that will do this more often. But right now it's just an opening salvo, this big flurry of lightning strikes kind of raining down over a huge portion of the area. It is pretty effective at being literal shock and awe.
Like a storm. It's not that different of a fight from Fortis X, whom we have fought. We fight a lot of dragons in this game, and they've long since fixed dragon fights. Like, dragon fights in this game are fun, unlike some of the previous games. But it doesn't, there's not a whole lot new to speak about with her.
Her unique thing, which is the, you know, a version of the skill you can get by devouring her heart, is the fact that she has this kind of lightning glaive kind of deal, which she will swing around and it will kind of like leave a trail of lightning strikes in its wake as it goes. But that is just in addition to what she's going to be doing more often, which is the standard dragon stuff, your breaths and your, you know, your swipes and stuff.
She fights the same way as Fortis Axe, and because it makes sense, this is Fortis Axe's sister. Said that she took the form of a human to commune with the knights as a priestess of the ancient dragon cult.
Yeah. Which is some real Forgotten Realms, you
it's
know,
very silver. Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, very D&D, you know, just your metallic dragons wanting to be, you know, akin to humans, learn their ways and such. Yeah. Based on the interest that she showed in Vike, you know, I have to assume that commune is kind of used there, let's say euphemistically.
So it's a translation thing. So yeah, I was looking at this. So it implies that she loved Vike in this. That is something that varies from translation to translation.
Okay.
Like I was reading about it online. Like the French version of it translates much closer to like she held him in esteem. There's one where it's like she admired him a lot.
Mm.
You know? And I was like, that ended up making sense. So I don't know what her relationship was to Vike. Vike has a finger maiden whom was like manipulating him.
Right.
You know, basically, and we're going to talk about Vike's story more. You know, Vike is a tragic figure in this. You know, went off to the three fingers, probably to, in my head canon, he did that to avoid burning his maiden.
Yeah.
No. So that is the love interest I have for Vike. Not that Vike, I'm not trying to do poly erasure on Vike. it's just that the item description that says that she loved him is contested. Like it depends on which language you're in.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also, I mean, just communing with the dragon knights, you know, is an interesting inversion.
She could have gang communed them. She could have communed them to completion multiple times a night and twice on Sunday. You know, we don't know how often she, you know, you might be right. It's unclear is the only thing I'm pushing for.
Yeah. No, I'd kind of moved off of that. I was just going to bring up her communion with the human knights as compared to the dragon communion that people do by devouring the human parts. Just as that, you know, an inversion there, it, you know, Lanciac's being just an interesting character, more involved with humans than others, or I mean, as involved with humans it seems as Fortisax was, you know, as human as you might consider Godwin to be, right?
Yeah,
with non-dragons, let's say. Yes. But yeah, Vike is a tragic figure in his own right. I mean, we fought and killed him, you know, down by the frenzied village or the ailing village, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess when I said we'd talk more about his story, it's when we get down to meet the three fingers ourselves.
Yes.
You know, we can talk a little bit about what that means, how that ties into an ending.
Yeah.
A really cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a sword grave here, you know, around about where we do this fight that talks about Godwin befriending Fortisax during the routing of the ancient dragons. You know, and we're just, you're going to find more sword graves than usual kind of around Altus. And around the specifically the capital outskirts, just because so many battles took place here.
Yes. Yeah. There's a church in the southwest portion of this plateau, just full of rams. Not a whole lot happening here, but you just get some lightning theme stuff.
Yeah.
A sacred tear, lightning, great bolts, the dragon bolt blessing incantation.
Yeah.
Which gives you a buff at the expense of your lightning resistance. Oh no. But the main thing we're going to want to go is to the northwest corner of this to get to the Sainted Hero's grave.
Yeah.
Been a minute since we've done one of these.
Welcome to Zelda Town, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't done the Kaiju Dark Souls for a minute. the controversial dungeons that I've flipped over on. Like, I like these now.
Yeah.
Even the bad ones. I'm into these.
It's very funny that you said Kaiju Dark Souls instead of Kaizo Dark Souls.
Oh. Boom, boom,
boom. Look close, some Lenny. Jolly cooperation. this one has a guard. There's someone hanging around outside. There's a Black Knife Assassin field boss fight. I assume because Ronnie is a treacherous woman.
Of course, that's why. That's the reason why any of these things do it. I don't know what this is doing here.
Yeah.
It drops the Black Knife.
Yes.
Of their thing. You know, a ritual performed on the oddly misshapen blade imbued with the power of the stolen rune of death.
Yeah. Let's you do the you know, the effect where you cut down maximum HP on someone, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But really we're in a Zelda dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
We go through here. We take a really long elevator down. There's a story. All of these have the same kind of layout where there's a stone sword key door, giving you a small encounter and a treasure. and then a main path with a very strong gimmick.
Yes.
Yeah. Very pronounced gimmick.
Was the last Hero Grave that we did the French Folk? Yeah, with the chariots, yeah. Right?
There aren't very many of these.
Right.
So yeah, we haven't, it can be that long since we've done them. And there's another chariot one as well. Mm-hmm. We ain't done with them chariots.
No.
This one is not chariot. This is the one that I think is the easiest.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the one without, is not too tricksy.
Right.
The main thing you're doing here is, again, fucking Zelda as hell. You get a little message about it. Shadow bathes in light and knows weakness. We have that note we got last episode. There are going to be shadow enemies that are intangible. We have to take them into light, send them into little periods of light. These statues of Rosas that are shining down, that we have to manipulate sometimes to create areas where they shine down. Mm-hmm. They get stunned and then we can hurt them.
Yes. Even though they are incorporeal, they can damage us, important to say. It's not just like, oh, and never the two shall meet, ships in the night, unless you decide to make
beyond.
Them. Yeah. Yeah. So they're going to come at you. A thing that makes this easier than most is the fact that it's just imps until there's a gladiator that is under this effect. And as bastardy as the imps can be with their ambushes and, their grab attacks kind of stuff, not necessarily a huge threat, even when you can't hit them, pretty easy to lead around, right?
Well, it's that and just the fact that those chariots are one shot, or at least at the time before they're nerfed, were one shot kills.
Yeah.
Like any enemy would not one shot kill you, even if this was all gladiators.
Right.
It would suck, but you wouldn't be just dying from having something smack you in the back of the head.
Right.
Without knowing it was happening, which is what happens the first time. Mm-hmm. You're in one of the standard ones.
Yeah. Here. But yeah, can't be hit. And you're just kind of going through. There's a large chamber with some Lindell soldier ashes across there, kind of baiting you into a fallaway hole. It sucks because the Lindell soldier ashes are not necessarily very great. So it's bait, but it's also not very good bait.
Yeah, bad bait. It's not cheater bait. And this is where you find, the soldiers of Lindell fight their battles defensively during the Shattering. They were the ramparts that fortified the royal capital.
Yeah.
And a jolly good job you did of it too, assholes.
You know what's also ramparts? Ramparts. Yeah,
ramparts. We eventually we pull a lever to open up this room that is full of guillotines and those who live in death. It's a long hallway. Here, there's a wraith caller in here on a steed going around. We need to ride this guillotine up here.
Yeah.
The door at the end of this is locked. It's the boss door. We have to do a little trick.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's two separate things, because riding the guillotine up will get you to an area with another stone sword fog gate kind of deal, getting you the dragon crest shield talisman +1, which is a nice item. The way to actually open the boss door is this ladder that you climb up. That's in a little alcove there.
Yeah.
This is where you get to the shaded gladiator, who you have to kind of lure
back.
Yeah, long run back to the room where you fell when you fell through the collapsible floor.
It's kind of the apotheosis of this, quote unquote puzzle type. Like previous to this, they start off with the imps are there and the light's right there, and then the imps are around the corner. Mm-hmm. This one you have to lead the enemy for quite a ways.
Yes.
And you have to kill him. Doing it is what opens the door.
Yeah. Weirdly. It just says a mechanism unlocked somewhere. It was a load bearing gladiator.
Yeah. It should be noted, like, you and I both like Zelda games. When we say Zelda's Dungeon, I'm not meaning that as a compliment to this. It feels very like basic building blocks of game design.
Yes.
To me, and a little bit below from, to me, like a little bit beneath them.
Yeah. I mean, this is, again, basic building blocks of game design, original Zelda, when a door wouldn't open until you killed all the enemies.
Yeah.
In a room.
Or like, I guarantee there's, dragging the princess into the light in the town, in the thieves hideout in Zelda 3.
Yes.
That's almost 30 years ago, it's just an old school. Kind of concern.
Yeah. So, when we say Zelda, it's like, just a kind of very explicitly gamey.
Yes. Video game, the video game.
Yes.
The boss we get here is another ancient hero of Zamor. These skeletal warriors, we fought one of these in an ever jail in the Weeping Peninsula before. Right.
Yeah. You know, big beardo folks got these curved swords and still pretty tough. You know, like the one down in the Weeping Peninsula in that ever jail, you know, we remarked on it at the time that that very much feels like it is meant to be fought later than when you would normally get down there. Even here, you know, just, man, not a lot so far in the game has forced you to deal with frostbite. So frostbite making you more brittle and take more damage, in addition to the quickness of this guy and just the length of his combos, can be a 1-2 punch if you're not accustomed to kind of treating frostbite as an emergency, right?
Yeah. These dudes have never fucked with me too much, in this form.
Yeah,
like the snow warriors that we actually run into in the consecrated snowfield, fuck me up.
Yeah,
pretty good as a boss fight. If it's one-on-one, they don't bother me too much. They do tend to catch me, like their little wedge shaped frost attack they do.
Yeah,
the hitbox on that is unpredictable for me, so I tend to get clipped by that.
Yeah,
but yeah. The reward for this is the ashes of a character we met and talked about last episode, Ancient Knight Kristoff. If you've been wondering who put Godefroy in jail, what was he like? Here you go.
Yeah.
Finally, that thread is cleaned up.
So weirdly, this feels a little bit okay. Giving the guy who captured Godefroy and put him in the ever jail, you know, during this first defense of Lindell, when this kind of insurrection was put down, giving this guy an Erdtree burial feels like it is giving a little bit too much props to how important Godefroy was to that.
It's old school. Godefroy used to be huge, I guess. You know, yeah. Maybe they'll release Elden Ring Origins and we'll finally get the origin of Godefroy. and you know, during the age of Godefroy.
Yeah, we get to play as Dragon Knight Kristoff.
Finally. Yeah. my understanding is this is a pretty good, but not great summon. I've never really used it, in part because it feels like a worse version of Headless Knight, what's her head? That you get, who is really powerful and you actually get on the Weeping Peninsula.
It's hard to feel very motivated to use this guy just because, here is a great warrior who uses a sword and shield and will go in and hit stuff. That's kind of just what a lot of the spirit summons are. Dudes. I've got a lot of pegs for that hole, for that particular hole there. So it's tough to kind of get your nut up for that.
It's kind of neat from like a flavor perspective, going, you know, adventuring with this legendary warrior, you know, named person who's, you know, part of the order. But yeah, it's not very useful. And it's you know, complaining about it, but it's also commensurate with the difficulty of the dungeon.
Yes.
This is the easiest of these and you get kind of minor rewards as a result.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah. No idea why a hero of Zamor is guarding it. Other than the fact that they were, you know, good solid allies for the Golden Order, you know, in the war against the fire giants,
right? Yeah, a position of honor,
yeah, possibly, you
know, to guard these honor things, guard. Possibly maybe he's retired.
Yeah. Just gonna retire to a nice little place at the bottom of a big dank cavern.
Yeah, no, nobody goes there. You're unlikely to be bothered.
True.
You know.
Yeah.
That's actually where we're gonna call it. Today it's a little bit shorter of an episode, but we also, this is a good stopping point before we get up to Windmill Zone and all those other zones around here that are more holistic.
Yes.
We appreciate you for listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you are listening to this, you have already done the main thing we would ask you to do. By backing us, you get access to a bunch of stuff. So check out those premium episodes of Watch Out for Fireballs. Around the time this comes out, we've got the Hades episode coming out. That's a game that kind of showed up in discussions of Dark Souls kind of stuff around that time. You know,
yeah, everyone played Hades.
Yeah, everyone played Hades. Yeah. You know, play Hades. It's fun. Listen to that episode. We're sure it's pretty good. We've got good Unfilmable stuff you can listen to. the Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 5 episode around Christmas time. That was real fun. We've got an episode about Something in the Dirt, the new Benson and Moorhead movie that I'm looking forward to talking about because it's real good on that show. Yeah, it's all there for you. A whole bunch of content there for the taking.
Yeah, may as well give it a chance. We appreciate it if you try it. Yeah. The other thing you can do is tell your friends. We would appreciate that. Leading Range Reviews still helps, even though the show is behind the Patreon paywall. It helps people find the public episodes. There's tons of stuff that's just available for everyone.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
I think so. Thank you, everybody.
Until next time. Cool.
Until next time, write your fanfic about Kristoff, baby.
Yeah. Hey, Kristoff heads. Hey, Godfroy heads.
Oh.
And we all pray that we will have far more soon.